You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news. Christian Speak Talk Radio is a non-profit ministry. We are dedicated to spreading the gospel of Jesus through our programs and special guests. We exist through the generous support of our listeners. If you are being blessed through this ministry and would like to give a love offering, go to our website and click on our donation page. Your donation will be processed through PayPal. Our prayer is that you may prosper, be in good health, even as your soul prospers.
Unto the Lord, for He
When Christians Speak Talk Radio is a 501c3 nonprofit ministry. All of your gifts to this ministry are tax deductible. Go out to our website www.whenchristianspeak.com and click on our donation page.
Challenge to change, where transformation begins with you. Change appears to be one of the biggest hindrances to growth from relationships that I have encountered while in ministry. Our focus is usually on someone else and what they have done or are doing to us, instead of us being accountable to God and making sure we're not a stumbling block to ourselves or others. Challenge to change is about us taking personal responsibility for our Christian walk as we face challenges and issues and how to overcome them through biblical tools and techniques that we will discuss on this show. Everything about this show is encompassed in us depending on the Holy Spirit to edify, enrich, and transform lives by introducing individuals to a personal encounter with God's unconditional love. That is where real transformation begins and ends.
Jesus, we just thank you. We thank you for your presence. We thank you that we get to worship you. We don't have to wait to Sunday to do it. It's a lifetime. It's what we do every day, every moment of the day. We just thank you that you loved us enough. Well, you said that we were worth dying for while we were yet sinners, you died for us. We thank you for this opportunity to bring forth your word. Thank you for your anointing that's present to heal, to deliver, and to set the captives free. We thank you, Father, in advance that no weapon formed against us will prosper. It might try, but it won't succeed. We thank you that we just say thank you for you being God, for you knowing us well enough to know all there is to know about us. And you're not surprised by what nothing we do, but we call on your name. And we use a long sentence called help, a long words called help, because that's the only way we can make it through. So we thank you what you plan to do today, your anointing. We come before your throne washed in the blood of Jesus. We thank you for giving us the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might. Make us a quick understanding so we do not judge by what we see with our eyes or hear with our ears, but by what your Holy Spirit reveals to us. We thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can have a seat. Take a peep at your neighbor and see whether they're smiling, whether they got something going on. All right. Glory, glory, glory. How was y'all week this week?
Great.
Yeah? Yeah? Y'all have any challenges?
Yes.
Okay, see? That's real. That's real. That's real. Did you have to forgive anybody?
Yes.
I can't hear you on this side.
Yes.
What about this side?
Yes.
Because that's what we're talking about, forgiveness. Y'all do know that what you teach on something, that's what normally manifests. That's it. I'm just telling you. All right. So, I want to, before I get started, just want to explain something. Some people have asked me, they say, Pastor, why are you so precious, so intense about this message, this six core values? I've seen you intense about some stuff, but why are you so intense about this one? Well, I got an example I want to give you. Ms. Candace, would you come up for a second? Can I get a mic for Miss Candy? Because the intensity of from what I'm teaching is the importance of how important it is. So Miss Candy, can y'all see her? She in the zone? Come on over, just a little close, a little close. She in the zone. All right, so Candace, you're a mother of how many children?
Two.
Two children.
Two.
Okay. Now you got two children, and they decided they wanted to run across the street.
Mm.
And you see them running across the street,
mm-hmm.
but you see a car coming that they don't see. Would you mind sharing with us how you would call out to them?
Stop!
You mean you wouldn't say stop?
No.
It's a car.
No.
It's coming. It might hit you. It might kill you. But I'm your mom. So I don't want to hurt you.
That's too long.
It's too long. Why is it too long?
They would have been
hit by then. Right? You got it? So y'all heard her. Now, how many of you guys are mothers or grandparents or something? Would y'all holler or y'all would have talked about it? Well, what about society says that you're not supposed to scream at your children?
Out the window.
Huh?
Out the window.
Go. Okay? All right, thank you. I appreciate that. So does that give you a little clue about why I'm so intense about these six core values? Because if you don't get these, something has you. You got it? If you don't get these, then something has you. Amen? So we can go ahead and pray now. All right, let's do our opening confession. Father, I choose to be open and receptive today. I humble myself, bearing my heart, my joys, and my pains. I thank you for restoring my wounded soul. I believe that I will not receive more than my humanity can bear. I ask that what is hidden in my conscious and unconscious mind, those secrets hidden from myself, that block my growth and intimacy with God and others be revealed. Search me, Holy Spirit. Reveal these hidden hurts to me and show me the areas that must be addressed today. I give you permission to go to the points of inception of my hurts and hidden memories that are negatively impacting my life. I give you access to my heart and mind so that you may bypass any repression, denial, depression, disassociation, confusion, guilt, shame, condemnation, pride, unforgiveness, anger, fear, or lies that may be blocking my memories. Override any obstacles that have hindered me or are hindering me from receiving my freedom in you. I renounce and cancel the effects of receiving any accusations and lies into my mind, body, soul, and heart that is contrary to the truth of who you say that I am. I declare that I live my life loved, cherished, and adored by you. I receive in my heart every expression of your love for me. Because you love me, I am free of all guilt, shame, and condemnation. In Jesus' name, amen. So now we're talking about, so y'all take a look at this now. Y'all read closely with me. Not forgiving someone is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. And the author is unknown. So what do you think about that? What do you think about that? So we're thinking somebody else is going to suffer for what they did to us, but we're the ones suffering. Because what happens if that's their normal activity? What happens if they like that? Remember what the Bible says about special people? Say they can't go to sleep unless they create havoc with somebody else. They can't go to sleep. See, if you haven't learned how to self-soothe, you're going to have a challenging life. Because, you know, some children suck the thumb. Some children start playing with stuff. But that's their mind. That's their way of calming themselves down. But if you were never taught how to calm yourself, then you got to find a way to get it to happen. So if you get somebody else upset, then you see how upset they are, and then you say, I can relax. Because they have what I had. And now they're keeping what I had, and I can rest now. Because I can relax. So if you got children, and they're starting to grow up, teach them how to self-soothe. Where mommy and daddy don't have to be around all the time. Teach them how to, okay, so what are you feeling? What are you thinking? And you can put it on their level. All right? So we're talking about core values. And which one are we on today? Okay, how y'all know that? Because that's what I'm talking about. Y'all paying attention. Forgiveness. Let's take a look at this scripture. Forgiveness is a process. Let's read this one together. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32 in the Message Bible, I like to switch it up. Make a clear break with all cutting, backbiting, profane talk. Be gentle with one another, sensitive. Forgive one another as quickly and thoroughly as God in Christ forgave you. Quickly? I've been mad at him for 25 years. Quickly and thoroughly. That means, but I'm going to give you the steps today. If we get to that part, I'm going to give you the steps today about how to operate this forgiveness piece. The steps. And it's going to be very reflective. Because let me tell you something. If you don't know how to self-reflect, you're also in some big trouble. Why is that? Because you're going to blame everybody else. If you don't know how to self-reflect and ask yourself, well, what part did I play in this? You're going to blame everybody else. And the situation is going to continue because you will never see your part in it. Forgiveness is a choice. Y'all check this out. And it's in there. An act of choice to release an offender from our punishment and entrust it all to God. And trust what? Y'all meant to say parts of it to God. You mean pieces of it. But what is it? Our punishment. When we walk in unforgiveness, what happens is we want the person to punish. Am I lying on anybody?
No.
Okay. Boy, I want to see it happen. I want to see it when it happened. I want to see the effects of after it happened. I want to see whether they cripple or whether they blind or whether they what. We just got to be real, right? Whether their life falling apart. What else we want to see? No, y'all going to act like y'all don't want to see nothing.
Trip down the steps.
See, we got one rolling back there.
choke on the food.
That, ooh. Roz, go ahead and get that. Go.
I want to see the hurt they gave me.
I want to see the hurt that they gave me. Okay, I want to see the hurt that they gave me. Boy, the booth back there, honest. What about people up in the sanctuary?
Lose everything.
Huh? You want them to lose everything.
Mm-hmm.
You want them locked up. Yes, sir, buddy. Boy, I'm on the right topic. See them locked up. Okay. But that's why we need to entrust it all to God. Yes, ma'am. What we got?
Someone online says, I want to see them hurt like I hurt and apologize.
And apologize. So why they hurting, you want them to apologize. Right? Forgiveness can be an enormous challenge. So let me tell you why it's an enormous challenge. Because people keep telling, Pastor, you just talk about this day like it's just so easy because you walk in forgiveness. I didn't say it was easy. But I'm tired of thinking about it. When I'm supposed to think on those things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, virtuous, and of good report. I can't do that and think about this. You can't do it. One will outrun the other one. But this is why it's such an enormous challenge. Because you did nothing wrong. You wasn't the one that did this thing to them. They did it to you. They asked you to borrow money. And what they do? And you say you're going to pay them back when?
Thursday.
Okay. It happened there. I'm going to pay them back on Thursday. And Thursday come, what they do? They normally talk to you every Thursday. But that Thursday, what they do? They avoid you.
You ain't seen them.
And they your roommate. They decided they had to go out of town that day. Oh, no, they took a cruise that day with your money. Am I lying on anybody? So that's why it's an enormous challenge. Because you're supposed to forgive them, but you didn't do nothing wrong. Let's see what else happens. Why it's enormous. They never admit when they wrong. Now, they'll tell you everything you're doing wrong. Uh-oh, y'all shaking your head. But when you go to talk to them, it's your fault. You the one. Oh, no, see, let me leave it alone. Let me leave it alone. They never admit. I didn't say sometimes. I say never admit. It's always your fault. Always is absolute. Yeah. Let's see what else. No one knows what they did to me. Anybody ever encountered that one? You telling me, and I see people roll their eyes at me. They come up and ask me, Pastor, you know, such. And I said, well, you got to forgive them. And they rolled their eyes at me. So I'm included in the bunch now. I'm included with the ones that started something. Because I'm telling you the secret to it. I mean, what are you going to do? Because see, what happens is when trauma comes, when it hits, it focuses on one thing. That's why God tells us about renewing our mind, because when we get traumatized or when we get hurt, what happens is we replay that same scenario how many times? Over and over again. That was the right answer. I was just checking to see what y'all are going to say once or twice. Over and over again. I mean, and does it get lighter the more you focus on it, or it get heavier? Because now, you know, when you first look at it, all you saw was the incident happen. And then the next time you start to feel different parts of the pain. Then you start to hear in your voice what they were saying to you and what you were saying back to them. But see, their voice get louder because they want to etch in just a little bit more. They want to go in just a little bit more. And so when you start to operate in forgiveness, okay, now I got security. When you start to forgive them, what you start to see is other parts of the image. The other parts of the image, where you start to see or hear something that you didn't hear or see before. Mm-hmm. And see, this is one thing. I mind my own business. I just got to tell you. I got choked up on that one. But anyway, what happens is when you come to me for counseling and you got trauma or unforgiveness, I'm going to take you to that scene. Because see, all you've seen is that scene. But see, I'm going to take you to the place where I asked you to ask God, where were you? God, where were you when this happened? And when you find out that he was there, then now we all of a sudden got a different equation to the image. He was there. This is what was supposed to happen. But because he was there, this is what happened. You understand what I'm saying? All right? Y'all breathing okay? No one knows what they did to me. And they did some nasty stuff, some horrible stuff. If I forgive, then they are getting away with murder. Are they? It looks like it though. Don't it look like? Don't it look like they got away? Yeah. But you know they're gonna do it again, right? Yeah. And again. And it's gonna happen. But they're not getting away with it because God sees everything. He also operates with mercy. That's what he used on us, and grace. I am the victim here. How dare you tell me I need to forgive? I am the victim. Do you understand what a victim is? That's somebody that has something done to them. And it hasn't been brought to light yet. And it hadn't been corrected. The person hadn't apologized. The person hadn't asked for forgiveness. The victim is the one that has the most impact implied and given to them. It's not a happy place to be. Anybody ever been excited about being the victim? If you are words, I call you up. That gives them the right to do it again. If you don't understand boundaries, that is absolutely correct. You can forgive somebody and you're giving them the right to do it again. But if you got a boundary set, it's like, okay, when you do this, I'm going to do this. When you do this, if you cuss at me, I'm going to walk away. If you disrespect me, we don't have to talk. Because I'm going to walk away. Or I'm going to be silent. You want to end the argument quick? Y'all ready? Y'all not. But it's a test of your ability. Sharon laughing at me. Somebody start fussing, just go quiet on them. Go quiet on them. Can I share it with you? Y'all ready for this? And look them in the middle of the forehead. Don't look them in the eyes. It messes with them. When you look them in the forehead instead of looking them in the eyes. Because see, when they looking you in the eyes as they laying you out, they looking for the hurt. You ready? They looking for the hurt. Because see, they're excited about being able to mess with you. Because see, they know something about you and your personality type. That you take things personal. But, oh, that sound booth back there. But you looking right at the forehead. And their tone is going to change. Because they trying to figure out, wait a minute, I can't see the eyes the way I was seeing the eyes. I can't see the hurt in the eyes. I can't see the disappointment in the eyes. It hurts too much to forgive. Forgiveness can be an enormous challenge because it hurts too much to forgive. Now, hurt is what you continue to feel now. Hurt is what you continue to feel right now. Because remember, they like messing you up. They can go to sleep now. But the more you replay, the worse it gets. Everybody breathing okay?
Yes.
All right. Let me go back to where I want to go. So let me talk about the natural effects. The natural effects of unforgiveness is our digestive system is impaired. So whenever your stomach starts to do funny things, first thing you need to go is you just ask the Holy Spirit, who am I in unforgiveness with? Who do I need to forgive? Because you know everything's supposed to be good when you're eating. Supposed to be excited about it. So say amen back there. You done paid money for this restaurant. You know what you wanted to order. You decided whether you're going to be with somebody or without because it's your meal. And then all of a sudden, that unforgiveness is starting to bubble. It's starting to do some things. Food tastes good, but you're not with the food. But it's a natural effect. That means it's going to happen, guys, if we don't walk in forgiveness. Our breathing is restricted. So your breathing is shallow. You don't breathe, you don't do the whole breath thing. Because you're in flight or fight mode. So you just start to breathe less. It's more restricted. And this is all based off forgiveness. So it's something that happened that hadn't been processed, and the body says, I'm going to do something with this. I got to do something with this. Yes, ma'am.
I want to say this so true because when I finally met this person who I was in unforgiveness for, I had the seriously worst case of indigestion that
okay.
I ever had. It was almost like supernatural.
Okay.
And then after we met and I forgave, it just totally went away. So I can attest that it's true.
Amen. Thank you. Somebody else had a hand up? Okay. All right. Our immune system functions less effectively. It means colds, flu, sickness, starts to come up because, and I'm going to show y'all in a minute how effective this stuff is, unforgiveness is. And one of the things you can hear me say, and say it just straight up, forgiveness will never seem fair. But are these things fair? It will never be fair. But just take a moment for a second. Can we take a minute? Now, I'm in unforgiveness because you hurt me, but I'm carrying you around 24/7. But if I forgive you, I stop carrying you. Now, why do I want to carry around the person who hurt me? If I forgive them, now it might take some time, but at least I'm lightening the weight. Go to bed thinking about you, wake up thinking about you, go to bathroom thinking about you, eat thinking about you. What else would you do? Get dressed thinking about you? Drive to work thinking about you? What else? Stretch that back out, that ain't gonna help. I got people stretching in here. Go ahead, I'm messing with you. Gotta mess with you. Gotta say what I see. But you don't want to be with them. But you're thinking about them. We become more vulnerable to infections And when it's not answered, it can go to counselor. When the doctor said we don't know what's wrong, what have I always said? It's a spiritual. It's spiritual. When the doctors can't figure out what's going on with you or us, it's a spiritual thing. It's not a natural thing. It's a spiritual thing. We began to feel bad and become moody and irritable. And who gets that? Ooh, who said that about it? Okay, everybody. Church after church, I want to read this text that I got from a person in the church. Name Bonetta. I didn't mean to say the name. But see, over time it begins. See, all these things are stages, guys, and they start to move around, and they can take each other's place, and they can get intense. You become moody and irritable, and you're doing it to the people that are with you. Because the person you're in unforgiveness towards, most of the time they're not with you, except you current it in your memory and in your mindset. Make decisions become more difficult. Can you, hey, let's go to the movies. You know, I know Friday is your day off. You can't even make the decision. Because who else is taking up the space? The person you're thinking about. So you're having a hard time making decisions because they are taking all your free mindset. You're spending time thinking about them. Well, what if I see them at the movie? I remember they liked that type movie. So now you're not going to. And then the movie theater you like to go to with the popcorn, Jasmine. What happens is you can't go there because they might be there. So you're making all these decisions. That's too much. But when is too much enough? I'm telling you guys, I'm just wanting you to see what I see as a pastor and a counselor. And this thing going to go deeper than where we are right now. It's going to go deeper. We may become depressed or even suicidal. Depressed or suicidal. Now, it didn't start out like that. Remember, it had to play. It had to keep playing. And the more time we think about it, the bigger it gets. Because remember what I said? When we are in unforgiveness, what happens is that's all we see. We see the parts and the pieces, and they get clearer and clearer and louder and louder. That conversation gets loud. Our creativity is reduced or even blocked. Y'all understand what I'm saying? You used to like cutting grass. Now, that's just me going off for a little while. You used to like building things, making things, doing things. But you had a flair to it. Am I talking to anybody? Yeah. The creativity get blocked. And see, the thing about you being creative is God created you to be creative. But now you're walking away from the very thing you used to do and be good at. Because now it's like, man, it's too much effort. Now you got to think about how to do it where before it was just instant. Amen. I take the mm-hmm as an amen. Thank you. Thank you, Faith. Appreciate it. Uh-oh. Here we go. Now I just want y'all to take a look at what I was talking about. The characteristics of this. Digesting, breathing, immune system. Now this is just unforgiveness. Attached with trauma. Now I'm starting to go to the natural effects versus the trauma. And what I want to talk about is nervous system. So this is what normally happens. When our nervous system gets involved with unforgiveness and trauma, it builds up. Can you see it okay camera-wise? If not, then we can have this moved over. Okay, so let's say, for example, so let me explain what trauma is. Y'all write this down because I want you to remember. So just know, if you haven't forgiven, the next step is trauma. Trauma and unforgiveness are already working together, but the more you hold on to unforgiveness, the stronger trauma gets. Trauma is a lasting emotional response to a stressful event. Trauma is a lasting emotional response to stressful events. So it starts out as unforgiveness, but then it starts to go to trauma. So it's a lasting emotional response. It can be like an accident, you know, a car accident. It can be domestic violence. It can be somebody hollering and screaming at you. It can be the loss of a loved one. But this is what trauma does. Remember now, we can bypass unforgiveness. But this is what trauma does. Once it gets you, and I'm going to show you in a cup, it harms the person's sense of safety. So I'm no longer safe with you. But see, this is what happens when trauma goes into unforgiveness. You can say something like someone else said, and trauma will cause you to feel as if the other person said it. Follow? Okay, so. Now, let's say you're feeling sadness. And so now, this is over time. This is one day. That's one day. We can be in unforgiveness for one day. So you can feel depressed or sad. So then trauma starts to run out of space to house itself. So because it ran out of space to house itself, it has to look for another symptom. You follow me? So you'll start out with one body ache, and then when that trauma, that unforgiveness has not been processed, it says, I need more space. So I need to go over into depression. So depression ran out of space. So now I need to create another symptom. Now I can't sleep. So that's three symptoms that started out with one, which was unforgiveness. So now it has increased itself. Then it will increase itself. And I asked them, thank you, Ed. I asked, Ed, just give me three cups. Because if you got six symptoms, the next one is coming. Because they're running out of space to hide themselves. So they have to find somewhere else that they can stay. So it's going to continue because it's not finished. Until you forgive it, now, what's in these cups? It's called forgiveness. I get my peace back. I get my rest back. I get my anointing back. Until I run into somebody else that will cause me to walk in unforgiveness. And then it can start all over again. But let's say what happens if they do what they do and I forgave them. See how little that is in that cup? I forgave them. So that cup don't have to increase. There don't have to be another symptom. It doesn't have to be another pain. It doesn't have to be another sleepless night. It does not have to be another headache. It doesn't have to be another visit to the doctor. So if you're asking me why I am so intense, I get tired of seeing people die. Because I trace it back to them being in unforgiveness. If they had started then, glory could be in that cup. Abundance could be in that cup. Increase could be in that cup. Rest could be in that cup. Your ministry could be in that cup. But no, nobody. You don't know what they did to me, but I know what it's doing to you.
This concludes today's message on Challenge to Change, where real transformation begins with you, with Pastor Paul Morgan. If you are ever in the Richmond, Virginia area, join Pastor Paul for Sunday service at 10 a.m. at Chosen Generation Ministries. The website is www.chosenrva.com or call at 866-333-9505.